I'm Dr. Robert Rogers, and it's my pleasure to have Dr. Steve Fenwick with us today, who is a psychologist and who will be talking about process work. So, Dr. Fenwick, could you say just a bit about your background and how you came to become a psychologist?
Hi, Robert. Thanks for having me on. My background is, in my early 20s, I got very interested in dreams, and I started reading about dreams and keeping a dream journal, and that led me into studying Carl Jung, who was a psychologist in the early 20th century who was very interested in dreams and what they mean. And so I went to Antioch University, Seattle, and got a master's degree, and I focused a lot then on dream work and Jungian psychology and archetypal types of things. And then I graduated, got out, started doing counseling work, and started looking for other kinds of paradigms, you know, that work with a wide variety of different issues that come into, you know, counseling practice and mental health centers, kind of places I was working. And I came across this very interesting book by a guy named Arnold Mandel called The Dream Body. It had just come out then in the early 80s. And he was a Jungian from Zurich, Switzerland, which was the main Jungian training center. And very interesting guy. He had been a physicist who went to Zurich originally to study physics at the same place that Einstein studied physics. And while he was there, he started having a lot of dreams that he got interested in, and somebody suggested he go see this woman dream analyst who lived down on the lake of Zurich, and it turned out she was Marie-Louise von Franz, who was one of Jung's main pupils and proteges. And Jung had just died like a week or two before Arnie had arrived in Switzerland. So Arnie went down there and met Marie-Louise von Franz and got very interested in what she was doing, and he ended up becoming a Jungian analyst himself. But in his practice, he started having a lot of people with physical symptoms of various kinds of ailments and various types of things, and he himself was having some physical symptoms. So he got interested in how does the body connect with dreams, and how do physical symptoms connect with dreams, and how those two things connected. And so he came up with this idea of the dream body, that the dream and the body are really connected on a deep level. And so when we have symptoms, they are like dreams. Dreams, in the Jungian idea of dreams, is they're not just repressed stuff, like the Freudians look at dreams like it's just a lot of repressed stuff. The Jungian view of dreams is that dreams have to do with our meaning and purpose in life, and the dreams are telling us things. Dreams are always giving us guidance about how to become more whole as human beings. So he started looking at symptoms that way, that symptoms aren't just bad things. Of course, on one level, they are negative. It's horrible to have a chronic symptom like Parkinson's that you have to deal with, and nobody likes to have those kind of things happen. But on another level, we can look at them as being meaningful in our lives, that they have a message to tell us something about ourselves and the way our souls are trying to grow and develop in this life. So he started working on how to work with dreams and body symptoms as connected as one whole. And so he had, for instance, he had a patient who had cancer. I believe he had a stomach cancer. And this patient went into the hospital and he was dying, and Arnie went to visit him, and so he said, well, describe what you're experiencing in your body. And this person lying there in the bed said, oh, this horrible pain in my stomach. It feels like it wants to explode. It's just like a bomb. It wants to explode. So Arnie had him make exploding noises and expressing that explosion in different ways, and it turned out, he said, well, Arnie, I've never been able to express my anger any time in my life. And so he started just expressing his anger and talking about all the things he was angry about and, you know, working out his anger with various people in his life. And within a week or two, he was fine. He went in remission, came home from the hospital. And then Arnie remembered, well, just before he went to the hospital, he'd had a dream that the cure for his cancer was a bomb. So that's just one example. It's not always anger. It can be various things that need to be expressed in our lives, that the dreams are telling us that to become more whole, we need something that we're not normally identified with.
So what often happens then is when a person comes to see you, they will come with a dream and you will help them sort through what that dream means?
You can come with a dream, or you can also just come with your symptoms, because the symptoms are like dreams. And Mendel then expanded the paradigm to look at everything in our life is something like a dream. So a symptom can be like a dream, a relationship problem, or a family problem is like a dream, world problems, problems at work. So everything has a meaning, and it's all interconnected on a deep level. So that's what he calls the dreaming body. It's this field of dreaming that we're in. It's kind of like our lives are like dreams. On one level, this world is very real. It's what he calls consensus reality. He talks about different levels of our experience. So on one level, there's consensus reality, which is the reality that we all agree on is real, that science can measure. And we have an agreement, a consensus about this is real. You can measure it. You can test it. And that's what normal Western medicine deals with, the consensus reality level of the symptom. And then underneath that, there's a dreaming level of the symptom. And even under that, there's what he calls the essence level, which is even a deeper level than the dreaming level. It's almost hard to even verbalize what that is. It's like an energy source behind the dream. So there's these different levels, and so he compares it to like different colors of a rainbow. There's different frequencies or levels, like colors of light. And so he talks about, in his book Quantum Mind and Healing, he talks about what he calls a rainbow medicine, which is with any medical problem, it's good to work on all those levels. So on one level, there's a consensus reality level. Of course, you want the symptoms to go away, and you don't like your symptoms. And so, yeah, you go to the doctor, and you try to alleviate the symptoms as best you can with Western medicine, with alternative medicine, and all those various types of things. But then beneath that, it's also good to look at the dreaming level. Like, what does this all mean in your life? What's the meaning? And as you look more at the meaning, as well as take care of the consensus reality level of the symptoms, as you look at the underlying meaning and purpose of the symptoms, what it's trying to tell you, it's like it has a gift for you. Even though you may hate the symptom, we all hate symptoms, but even though we hate them and we want them to go away and we do everything we can to make them go away, which is good, we also want to look at what the meaning is. What is it trying to tell you about your life? What is it trying to tell you about your life's purpose and meaning? And as you unfold that and get more in touch with that and express it more in your life, oftentimes the symptoms do get better.
So what you're telling people is that if there are some horrible symptoms that are connected to Parkinson's, it's actually a good thing rather than a bad thing.
Yeah, well, in a way, it's both. There's a bad aspect, of course, that you don't like and do everything you can to get help with it. But then underneath that, there's also a gift that you want to unwrap and unfold and look at what is it telling you. Because our normal conscious identities become very limited. It's what Jung talked about, that in terms of the ego being one-sided. It's like our identities become too constricted in life. And then there's something else that comes up from the dreaming level that is trying to compensate the ego, that tries to say, hey, look at this. This, you're not living this aspect. You're not. We all have these limiting beliefs, maybe from childhood trauma or from family or cultural belief systems that we've inherited, that say, well, we should be a certain way. We shouldn't express our anger, or we shouldn't allow this or that in our life. We shouldn't let ourselves be too wild or out of control. We shouldn't allow various things, or we shouldn't be certain ways. But to be whole, you need to let a little of everything into your life that wants to be expressed. So sometimes if those things aren't expressed in our lives, then they come up as dreams, or they come up as symptoms, or they come up as relationship problems, or various things in our life.
So if we focus on, for example, the problem of shaking, let's say a hand is tremoring or shaking, mm-hmm. What might be an interpretation possible of the shaking in the context of the person's entire life?
Yeah, well, see, it's not so much that we make an interpretation with our heads It's more like how we would work with that is we would actually have you get into the shaking, which is the exact opposite of what you normally would probably want to do. Most people will want to inhibit that shaking because you don't like it, of course. And that's fine. But also, to find the meaning of the shaking, to experience the meaning, we would amplify the symptom, just like the guy with the feeling of the bomb in his gut, to amplify that feeling till it expressed itself, to express what it wanted to express. So we might have you make the shaking even bigger. Go with the shaking. Move it even more. Shake even more. Of course, you need to do that in a way that's safe for you, so you don't want to fall and hurt yourself. But whether you do it sitting down or standing up, whatever works for you in a safe way, to almost make it into a dance, like to really express that energy. And what is that energy expressing? So there's no way to know ahead of time what it means until you experience the meaning yourself. You feel the energy within yourself, and what is that telling you? What is it trying to express?
So what you're describing now is what is described as process work?
Yes. So originally, Arnie called this dream body work, and then as he expanded the paradigm even more, he started bringing in ideas from quantum physics and from shamanism and different Taoism and Buddhism and different sources, and working with a wide variety of both medical problems and family problems and relationship problems and psychological issues and world problems. He expanded the paradigm and called it process work. So that's what it's now mostly called, is process work or process-oriented psychology.
So if I had Parkinson's and I came to you and we began to work together, and the approach was to help me exaggerate my symptoms, which might be tremoring of my hand, mm-hmm. What might be possible outcomes of that? Am I going to have certain thoughts that I didn't expect? Will I have certain feelings that I didn't expect, or revelations? Or I obviously can go in a lot of different directions, but what's likely to happen?
Well, it's always a surprise. You never know what's going to happen. So that can be a little scary for people. But, we try to work with you in a way so that it's not too scary. But you try to get to, what is the energy quality that that's expressing? Say, this is just one example. It may not apply to everybody, but one example is maybe in your life you have restricted yourself too much. You've been maybe a very controlled person. And so maybe the shaking is trying to shake out of that constriction and loosen you up. Maybe let you express more what you're feeling and letting you be more free in how you move and how you express yourself, less controlled. That would be one example. But it's, whenever you do that, you also hit what we call edges. And edges are like limiting beliefs. So we all have edges. They're all surrounding our identities. We have these limiting beliefs. This is who I am. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't be this way. I can't be that way. I believe in this. I don't believe in that. And so we reach these edges and we work with what are those limiting beliefs that keep us constricted in various ways.
And would you work with that using the body or talking? Or how does that work exactly with
process
workers?
There's a whole lot of different ways process workers work with them, and we try to find what's right for each person. We view people as process. So a process is always changing, moving, unfolding. It's like a river. And so it's kind of like following the current of a river. And so the river's current can take you different places. And so sometimes it takes you into working with movement. Sometimes it takes you into working with dreams. Sometimes it takes you into working with visualizing things or doing artwork. Sometimes it takes you into role-playing, how to express this in your life with various people. So there's a lot of different methods that we use. Sometimes we just sit and talk about what's going on.
So it sounds like you're really following the person rather than having any kind of standard protocol that you use that's applied to the situation. Is that right?
That's right. There is no standard program that we follow, but we attend very carefully to the signals, the symptoms, what's being expressed and experienced in each moment. That everything that's being experienced and the smallest little communication signals and so on are meaningful, and so we try to attend to those and follow those and take see where they lead us on this river.
How might people with Parkinson's be helped then if they do process work? Is it going to be connected somehow in their being able to get some relief from their symptoms and being able to feel better?
Oftentimes, yes. I can't make any overall guarantees with a major chronic symptom that process work alone will cure you, of course, but in conjunction with the other treatments that you're having, the biggest thing is that you will discover more about yourself and your purpose in life and what's trying to happen in your life. And as you do that, you become more whole as a person. And as you become more whole as a person, you also often find relief from symptoms. You oftentimes find that your symptoms are getting better. There's a little passage here I'd like to read from Quantum Minded Healing. And this is what he calls a rainbow medicine doctor. He's talking about sort of the doctors of the future. He's imagining what a doctor of the future would be like if it was a rainbow doctor practicing rainbow medicine. So this would be medicine that works on all these different levels. By redefining medicine, doctors will become awareness specialists. Imagine a future rainbow doctor who is able to work with the consensus reality body and the dreaming body as well. She is a person you visit to help you with your health problems and dreaming. Empowering your belief in yourself, she says, "My dear friend, your most difficult symptom is fascinating. You say you have aches and presses in your body and are always fatigued. Well, we will explore these problems and listen to your body. Perhaps these symptoms are posing a question to you, a koan. Like a Zen master, your body has posed a question to you about life in the form of a symptom. How should we find the answer to this koan? At present, the nature of the symptom is not completely understood by our standard medicine. We will investigate it in the allopathic tradition, but we need to get beyond what we know with our minds. This may be the moment you have been secretly waiting for, the challenge to contact your deepest nature. In a way, your symptoms may lead to some form of enlightenment." If this is your first such rainbow doctor that you've met at this point, you may be so shocked that you leave her office. But then as times and cultures change and rainbow medicine practice becomes more common, you might feel relieved. You no longer need to choose between sciences and mystical traditions, between allopathic or alternative medicine, since aspects of all paradigms will be considered in your doctor's awareness specialist office. The concepts of health and the pathology of illness are still in this office, but they have become one-color medicine concepts and relate to the everyday you in consensus reality who wants to live to a ripe old age. In rainbow medicine, you are neither ill nor well, young nor old, but simply on a path of whose intent you are not yet conscious. Perhaps your doctor will say next that your symptoms of fatigue and persistent aches and chest pressure are the beginning of a dance. Let your body dance and express whatever is in your chest, creating that pressure. You insist that you don't dance well, especially not in front of anyone. However, she tells you to relax and shows you what she means by letting her hands express something that looks to you like a puppet, creating pressure by pushing something away. She suggests following the slightest impulses in your body. Before you know it, your body has stood you on your feet and you are dancing. You feel like and become a great giant banging on the confining walls of this dwelling, wanting to get out. "Let me out, let me out," your dastard asks. "Why?" And you answer without knowing why. "Let me out, I am too big to be cooped up in this chest. I am not tired, I am exploding with energy, and I've got a big job to do." What a surprise. Before your dance, you thought you were fatigued. Now you feel energized. A few minutes later, you discover what your job is. You want to change something specific in yourself or others around you, or perhaps the giant wants to do something you thought was delusional, like changing your city. In any case, you go home feeling better and take up the challenge. You no longer need some form of medication to support or to retard that giant. Better yet, you feel enriched by the awareness your symptoms brought you, and you feel better. With or without your allopathic medicine, and even if the symptoms reappear. My point is that rainbow medicine includes allopathic ideas of disease and illness, fatigue and pressure, health and material causation, alongside shamanistic ideas, spirit and symptoms, subtle energy concepts such as vital flow, chi, prana, life force, and all the other terms healers across the centuries have used to describe body experience. Rainbow Medicine affirms modern science and develops the connection between homeopathy, anthroposophical medicine, and osteopathic and chiropractic traditions that appreciate the multidimensionality of individual experience. It is not a matter of this but not that. It is a principle of this and that. So right now, there's not too many rainbow doctors that can practice allopathic medicine and do process work at the same time. I know one or two people who do that a little bit. But I think the idea is, you know, you can see your regular doctor or your alternative doctor and work on those levels, and you can also see a process worker and work on the dreaming aspects of your symptom. And that will also help you to feel better in many respects and become more whole as a person.
Do you have some websites or books that you would recommend people could search to get more information about process work?
Websites, I would recommend going to processwork.org, which is the Process Work Institute of Portland. That's one of the main training programs in the world for process work in Portland, Oregon, and it's where Arnold Mindell teaches. Also, aamindell.net, that's A-A-M-I-N-D-E-L-L. .net, which is Arnold and Amy Mindell's website. Those are good places to go. At processwork.org, you can find process workers in various parts of the world who you could work with. And most process workers would be happy to work with you by phone as well if there's not somebody right in your local area. And I myself would be happy to work with anybody. I live in Olympia, Washington, and give you my phone number. It's 360-867-1877, and I work by phone as well. My email address is fenwizard, F-E-N-W-I-Z-A-R-D, at earthlink.net.
And so how many process work specialists, psychologists, are there, for example, in the United States? Are we talking just hundreds, or are there thousands, or what is the chance that a person would be able to find somebody in their local area?
Well, let's see. I'm not sure exactly how many there are in the United States at this point. There's probably well over 100, maybe 200. I'm not sure exactly, somewhere in there. Some areas have a lot, like Oregon has quite a bit because the Process Work Institute is there. California has some. Then there's a few scattered around on the East Coast and the Midwest and various others, the Southwest, various other places. But like I said, most people are happy to work with you by phone.
So is there any other thing that you'd like to recommend to persons who have the symptoms of Parkinson's? Anything that would help them feel better or get relief from their symptoms?
Well, from a process work point of view, I would say just explore, instead of trying to always repress the symptom, try getting, if you could just experiment maybe with, if you were to amplify, say, the tremor or whatever your most disturbing symptoms are, if you were to just even experiment with just making them bigger and feeling what they're expressing. Maybe you could dance it some, or even sitting in a chair, you could move in various ways to express it, and you could draw it, and just feel, if this had a message for me, what is it telling me? And you might also see correlations with what you dream about. Like maybe there's some creature in your dream that, or being or person in your dream that expresses that same quality of energy. So it's giving you a message. And the more you get in touch with that message, the more whole you begin to feel and the healthier you begin to feel.
Is it possible that if a person begins to exaggerate their feelings that bad feelings will come up?
It's possible. If something too overwhelming comes up, say you have a lot of trauma in the background, and that starts to come up, it's good to seek professional help with that. So that's what I would recommend. And if you could find a process worker, even over the phone, to talk to, that would be good. Also, books I'd recommend. Mindell has written a lot of books, but the two that I think are best for understanding how to work with symptoms, because he's interested in a lot of other areas as well, but the two that are most focused on physical symptoms and illness are his book called Working with the Dreaming Body and The Quantum Mind and Healing.
And he's the author of both of those?
Yes, uh-huh. So those would give you some understanding of how to work with symptoms.
Great. Is there anything else you wanted to be sure and mention before we close this interview out?
Well, I think we've just about covered everything I thought about talking about.
Oh, that sounds awesome, Steve. Thank you so much.
Okay.